Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This radio program comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing and this declaration of thy sacred word. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, my dear friends, we shall continue on the doctrine of sin. And so we're going to the first epistle of John in God's holy word. And I shall read to you a few verses from the second chapter. John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, I don't know of anybody in the Bible who deals more thoroughly with the subject of sin and the believer than the Apostle John, and I'm glad that John deals with this issue carefully, thoughtfully, and realistically. So John's doctrine of sin is in the middle of two extreme positions. On the one side of the extreme, you have people who say that when you're born of God and you sin, you're out. You're in a hopeless condition, so to say, one strike and you're out. This is the radical perfectionist view on the doctrine of sin. Fortunately, there are very few people today who believe this. On the other hand, you have people who believe that once you're born of God, you can sin as much as you want to, and it doesn't make any difference. You still make it to heaven. So, what's the difference whether you sin a little or a lot? It doesn't amount to any difference, they say. But I believe the proper position is that Jesus came into the world to save us from our sin. And Jesus does not want us to sin. And Jesus gives us abounding grace not to sin. And it is as long as we sin, as we disobey God, we will have no fellowship with God. Because sin will separate us from God, even as believers. If a believer sins and harbors sin in his heart, he will be separated from God. There will be no fellowship between him and God, because the holy does not have fellowship with the unholy. So if we don't obey the Lord Jesus' commandments, we do not have fellowship with God and with Jesus. And God always favored people who obey him, because it is people who obey him with whom he has fellowship. And there's nothing more important than that, as you as a father or mother can possibly teach your children this great truth, that to obey God means fellowship with him and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To disobey is to forfeit his fellowship with the Father and with his Son. Now, millions of Christians live under the illusion that causes them to think that they have a relationship with God, they have fellowship with God because they're born again. But John once again brings out in his collective writings that although the rebirth gets us into a relationship with God, into fellowship with God, disobedience to God takes us back out of this relationship, back out of this fellowship. And this is mentioned here in John's epistle, where he says, "He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, today, we let John take us a little further than just our relationship with God. We will let him take us to our relationship with our brothers, to our relationship with one another, and it gets interesting. So let's get to verse 7 and 8 here, and here John talks about a new and an old commandment. He says, "I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Now, dear ones, I have for years wondered what this is all about, this old and new commandment. Haven't you? And I've never really understood it. And so yesterday I was looking at two commentaries, and my friend, you know how it is. Have you ever tried to find a definition of a word in a dictionary, and when it's all said and done, you didn't know any more about what the dictionary is trying to tell you? So that was the case with the commentaries. Actually, one commentator said, "I just don't know how to understand this." Well, I said, Jesus, what do you mean by this, the old and new commandment? And this is, I believe, what the Holy Spirit is telling me. Because you see, the verse that follows this little section about the old and new commandment is this. It says, he that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. I think what is being said here is that there was a different perspective on man's understanding of man, of man's understanding of his relationship with man, when there was still darkness. In other words, that there was a different perspective, my friend, on things before Jesus came, before the light came, than we now have. I believe John the Apostle, the philosopher, the theologian, the great saint, he had divided all human history into two periods, that is, before Christ and since Christ. Before Christ, my friend, before the light of the world came, it was dark. It was morally, it was spiritually dark. Now, since Jesus came, there's light. And doesn't John say so in the first chapter of his gospel? Here are the words, verse 4 of that. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. That is, Jesus was the light of man. And the light, John continues, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then he goes on to say in the same chapter in verse 9, that was the true light, that means Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So John uses the word light 24 times in his gospel. So to him, everything was pre-light or since light. John says here in his epistle, the darkness is past, the true light now shineth. Because we are now in the light, we as Christians have the light within ourselves. We can see what God wanted, what God saw all along since he created Adam. And that is that our relationship to our brother is just as important as our relationship to God. And we see this more clearly now than it was ever seen in the Old Testament days, and even in the days of the scribes and Pharisees before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. All these old timers in days of old, they saw this from a distance. They saw this darkly through a glass. But now we can see it clearly. That which was an old commandment, yet obscured to the Jew, we as Christians can now see as a new commandment in the brightness of our Lord, that we must love our brothers in order to abide in Jesus, in order to have fellowship with God, that we must do two things rather than just one thing to abide in Jesus. The one is, as I said earlier, we must obey Jesus' commandments. The second one, we must love our brother also to abide in him. Failure of either one of these two things gets us out of fellowship with God. So John says, getting back to his epistle now, in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But him, or he that hateth his brother, is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Ah, my friend, if you don't love your brother, you walk in darkness. If you have resentment, criticism, a fault-finding spirit towards your brother, towards a pastor, towards other servants of Jesus, you, by the word of God, are blind and don't know where you're going, although you may be born of God. That's the word of the Lord. So it says here, but he that loveth his brother. Now what brother? Well, is it the brother who agrees with you on everything that you need to love? Is it the brother, my friend, who agrees with you on the color of the sanctuary carpet? Is it a brother that you need to love, my friend, who has the same doctrine about the gifts of the Spirit? Is it, my friend, the brother you need to love who is in church every time you are in church? And the list goes on. It ought to be utterly disturbing to the carnal mind, the backslider, to the lukewarm Christian, that there is no conditional phrase here, that it appears that we have to love our brother, quote, as is, unquote, and that our brother has to love us, quote, as is, unquote. We've got to come to the as-is theology, to an as-is lifestyle in reference to our brothers in order for us to abide in Jesus. Isn't this verse written to those who attach conditional phrases to this passage so much the more than to others? Isn't this telling them to drop all these conditions? You think you're good, you think you're spiritual because you love the brother who agrees with you. Who, my friend, has the same vision that your pastor has? who goes to the same prayer meeting as you go to. Isn't it obvious, my friend, that in this new commandment, we now see through the light of the Holy Spirit, my friend, that it has to be that we are to love our brother as is, no matter what the brother may believe, may be into, etc. Is there any wonder, then, that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So you can't have a relationship with God just on a vertical level. You have to be right on the horizontal level as well. Let me close with a first out of the garden, out of paradise story, the Cain and Abel story, my friend. What was the problem here? Well, let's consider what the problem was not. First of all, Cain, I want you to know, had nothing against God. As far as Cain was concerned, he and God were getting along just fine. And isn't it true that most Christians believe that they're getting along just fine with God? There's nothing between them and God. They worship God, they pay their tithes, they pray, they sacrifice, and this is all to make God happy. And this was the case with Cain. Cain, my friend, built an altar. Cain talked to God. Cain prayed. Cain thought about God. Cain brought a sacrifice to God. And so as far as Cain was concerned, oh, there's nothing wrong between me and God. I have fellowship with God. That was his perception. He was thoroughly convinced of it. But then something happened. As soon as he had put his grain together on the altar and he was ready to strike the match to let the smoke rise, God cried out of heaven and said, Cain, stop it! Stop it! Cain, stop it! And Cain said, what's the problem? Then God let him know and said, Cain, your sacrifice is not acceptable unto me. You think you have a right relationship with me, but you're mistaken. You cannot have a right relationship with me with anger and resentment and criticism and hate towards your brother Abel. So until that's taken care of, you and I have no relationship. And you know the rest of the story. If you don't, you can read it in Genesis chapter 4. The end result in this case was Cain did not want to repent and make things right with his brother. Rather, he murdered him so that the first man born of woman became a murderer. The sin of the first man, Adam, my friend, was that he was in the wrong relationship with God. The sin of the first man born was that he was in the wrong relationship with his brother. The one was as bad as the other. Neither one could continue the fellowship with God with these things being wrong in their lives. Now, getting back to 1 John, this message today was all about abiding in Jesus, wasn't it? That's at the heart of the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John. It's abiding in Jesus. We cannot abide in Jesus if we have any animosity towards any of our brothers, because he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Well, be sure, my friend, that you're right in your vertical relationship, that you're right with God. Be sure, my dear friend, that you're right with your brother. Father, we thank you again for this time together, and help us, Lord, to grasp this new commandment. It's an old commandment about loving our brother, but Lord, it's a new commandment because now the light of Jesus is shining upon us, and we ought to so much more clearly understand the absolute necessity that we have nothing, absolutely nothing, but love towards our brother, no matter what he believes and where he stands in his relationship with you. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Listen to me again next week. Until then, goodbye.